The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. As we head into hour three, delightfully and blessedly, we have our dear friend Sam Stone with us. He's usually with us on Thursdays in our third hour. You ride home with Sam Stone. Sam Stone is a radio host in his own right. He is the host of Breaking Battlegrounds, heard here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on 960 The Patriot. He is a political consultant in town and has a wonderfully active and interesting Twix account. You can follow him at Sam the Paul, P-O-L. Sam Stone, how are you, brother?
Seth, I'm good. How are you? By the way, I loved your monologue today.
Oh, well, thanks. You want to start there a little bit? Let's talk about this. It's everyone has O.J. Simpson in the news. I got to tell you, the whole thing has angered me since the moment I was in law school when this was going down, Sam. And, boy, the divisions along racial lines during law school, it was damn uncomfortable, I will tell you. I mean, the African-American students, not exclusively, but almost to a one, thought he should get off. Not all of them thought he was not guilty. Some of them thought he was not guilty, but all of them thought he should get off.
Yes. Yeah, there was an interesting piece I read talking about, you know, some of the background behind that case. But I loved your explanation. I want to add one other thing into it that I think is important, that's sort of marked. And, okay. And I think you alluded to it. I think that was the moment when our justice system started truly getting hijacked.
Yes.
By racial and identity politics.
Yes.
And left-right politics.
Yes.
And I think you can trace the decline in our judicial system, and it is a steep decline to that moment.
I think a lot came out of it culturally, and that's one of them. Let's return to that. Let's lay out a few others possibly, too, I think. Celebrity attorneys. We had a few, but only a few, and I mean literally only a few. You had F. Lee Bailey, who was doing a repeat performance here, but this made Johnny Cochran, which led to, I think, the Benjamin Crumps of the world, which I think have done tremendous damage to our criminal justice system, to our society, I think to the black community ultimately. I think that's something. I think judges playing to the cameras, judges giving up their role. I think prosecutors playing to the cameras. I think prosecutorial offices resigning their credibility in a lot of cases. The prosecution team between Marsha Clark and what's his name? I can't remember his name. It was awful.
Yes.
And, of course, perhaps the second worst crime of all is it gave us the Kardashians.
Well, and today we get Joe Biden's White House putting out a tribute to O.J. Simpson without ever mentioning the victims.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding me, Sam?
Nope, not at all. That I just popped up on my radar right before.
Why
the
do they
here.
Even think they need? Okay. I think I know the answer. I'd love yours. They think they need to do this like they think they needed to have him do that Univision interview. Did you see the interview outtake in Univision from yesterday that was going around that had him talking about creating a peaceful world because of the threat from Vietnam?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Sam, is there a greater national security threat to this country than a president of the United States who thinks we're in the Vietnam War?
Well, there's no greater national security threat to the entire world than a United States president who isn't mentally competent.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, that really, there is no leadership position in the world that comes close to stacking up to that of the United States president, unless it's the Chinese premier. And, you know, when you have someone like Joe Biden, who it's not just that he forgot what era we're in. But when it comes down to the policy making that goes into everything that, that leads up to the world stage, that leads up to Congress, all this kind of thing, it's exceptionally clear that it is not anyone who was elected who is making those decisions. And that's what, again, the Univision interview made absolutely positively clear as glass to everybody.
That's a great point. Okay, so not only is he living in five decades past and thinks the world is one where the United States has troops in Vietnam, not only does he think Mexico has something to do with the Gaza-Israel fight, as he said about a month and a half ago after the Robert Hur report, the point you just made, no one anyone voted for is running our foreign policy, and they have the gall to lecture us about threats to democracy?
Yeah, I mean, that is what is really, truly most appalling about what they're doing, Seth, because the fundamental principle of representative democracy or our republic is that we vote for the people who then make the decisions for us.
Mm-hmm.
And two things are happening right now simultaneously that are incredibly damaging to this country and our future. One is, call it the deep state, call it the bureaucratic state, whatever you'd like. I'd actually go for bureaucratic state or government state because it extends from the federal to the local levels.
Sure.
I dealt with this all the time at the city of Phoenix, where the permanent bureaucratic staff believes that the people elected to oversee them don't have any right to do so.
Yep.
Don't have any right or expertise to do so.
Yep.
That they're the only ones who are enlightened enough and experienced enough to make those decisions. I ran into that blatantly with the former airport manager, Jim Bennett, who straight up told us, I know what I'm doing, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, Jim, at that time, if you remember the last few years leading into 2020 and 2021, from about 2015, Sky Harbor was the jewel of the U.S. airport system in terms of its facilities.
Sounds right.
By the time Jim's tenure ended, it was not. So he was palpably and visibly running down the institution that he had been given.
I am in the mode of thinking that it's with elected officials and bureaucrats, it's kind of like college students and administrators. The administrators view the college students the way bureaucrats view elected officials. Do your protests, do your shouting, do your student senate. You'll be out in 4 or 5 years, maybe six. We're going to be here. We've been here 20 years before you. We're going to be here 20 years after you.
Yes.
And I kind of get the sense that bureaucrats view that elected officials that way. We've been here 20 years before you. We're going to be here 20 years after you. And
it doesn't matter
how successful
the preceding 20 years have
been. Right. That's irrelevant. Oh, of course.
Right.
Of course. That's irrelevant. But there's also an arrogance here because at play, an arrogance of the progressive notion that we know better. We are the experts. And why even if you have that view, Sam, why even have a vote? Why have a plebiscite? Why allow people to have a say in their government if you're a bureaucrat who thinks you're no better, you know better, and that we can override whatever the elected decision is, elected person's decision is?
Well, what you've seen in the last few election cycles is they don't believe people should have the ability to have a vote, right? That they're going to put their thumb on the scale. Time Magazine had an extensive roundup of these officials, quasi-officials, and big business leaders who said, look, we did everything we could to put – and they said this very proudly.
Yeah, this was right after 2020, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about that landmark piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's been actually some follow-up to it
that
Time has done where they're straight saying, look, people, we saved democracy by putting our thumb on the scale of our elections in a major way, controlling what you could think and how you could think it. I mean, they literally say that. So – think about that, right? The idea that they are saving democracy by making all the decisions themselves. This technocratic state is the single greatest threat to the order of the world, and it extends from your local government, from your local school, all the way up to the White House, to the EU, to Brussels, and all of the supranational organizations and institutions of the West.
I want to circle back to OJ in a minute, but I want to stay here, too, if I can, for a minute as well. I have to take a commercial break. If you'll allow me, Sam, let me do that, and we'll come back on all of this when we come right back. I am Seth Leibson. He is Sam Stone, and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest, host of Breaking Battlegrounds, heard here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., political consultant in town. I want to stay on the bureaucratic state with you for a moment, Sam, if I can. I was doing this with someone yesterday. An example and a question. An example of this would have been when Donald Trump was elected president and you had a an employee at the Department of Homeland Security. We didn't know that at the time, but an employee who wrote an op-ed for The New York Times under the name Anonymous. You may recall this.
Yeah.
And the New York Times said this is a high-ranking employee. And basically his op-ed was what you said. It was people should rest easy. There is a cadre of us who are keeping the boat afloat regardless of the vicissitudes and tantrums of the president of the United States. Something along those lines was the nature of the op-ed. What was very odd about it to me is precisely no one asking the question that you raised, which is why do we or why does an organization based on the First Amendment, the New York Times, think it's okay that some anonymous person that no one voted for is running the government over and against the person who people did vote for? Why did anyone think this was okay? It was a big moment, not only that the press thought it was okay, but that people were pretty blasé about it.
Fundamentally, it's because they both look down upon and actively dislike the masses.
Yeah.
I mean, you see this in their racial policies, which are the worst form of soft racism. I don't even like calling it soft racism. It is paternalist racism, where they say, oh, you know, if you are a black or brown skin, that, you know, we have to take care of you because you're not really capable of doing it for them, for yourself.
Right.
We understand that. That's what they're saying to those groups.
Right.
And then they're saying to, you know, as they're very clear, I mean, what was the book that, you know, has been in the news a whole bunch lately? A White Rage, right?
Yeah.
A White Rural Rage. They have no conception of the life and the thoughts or the beliefs of people who are not like them.
Right.
And they dismiss and demean those individuals in every category, in every way, and view them simply as sheep to be herded for their own benefit. So you look like right now, there's this big push, Tedros, you know, Boutros Ghali, the WHO head, right?
Right.
Who, by the way, is a former terrorist.
Okay.
He worked for a terrorist organization. That's how he got his start in the world.
Wow.
Okay. This guy says, you shouldn't be eating meat. We've got to get rid of the systems of large-scale meat production.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry. They're not going to stop serving their steak and seafood dinners at Davos.
Right.
Right? They envision themselves continuing on with that lifestyle while everyone supports it and lives a much lesser one from their viewpoint, as they should, due to the greatness of their leaders. It is a very communist mindset that we have seen in the Soviet Union, that we see in China today, and that we have seen in ideologically Marxist dictatorships around the world for 80 years.
I don't know if I did this with you before. I remember it well. I'm looking at the story now. I pulled it out while you were telling this. Just a small story about the illustration of what you're speaking of. 2004, John Kerry, John Edwards, and their wives were in Newburgh, New York, and decided to depart from the scripted bus tour for some burgers. 100 members of the media pressed their faces against Wendy's to watch them chew their burgers and slurp their Diet Cokes and Frosties. However, they then retreated to their bus, where they were greeted with a meal smuggled in from the Newburgh Yacht Club: shrimp vindaloo, grilled diver sea scallops, prosciutto wrapped stuffed chicken. This is you know, that you will find these people telling us we can't have our meat, but boy, like Gavin Newsom, he'll be at the French Laundry.
Right. He'll be at the French Laundry where they're paying the $16 an hour minimum wage,
right,
while the Wendy's across the street, he's forced to pay a $20 minimum wage.
Yes.
I mean, this is really so absurd. And the funny thing is, they truly don't understand why. Like, if you ask me, give me that dinner, the shrimp vindaloo,
right,
and whatever it was.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, Sam, you can have all this,
yeah,
but we're going to go over to Wendy's and hoof down some double cheeseburgers and Frosties.
I know.
I'm like, I'm dipping my fries right now, baby.
I know. You and I are dirty drummer types. I know.
Yeah, I absolutely know. But that's the majority of America.
Of course it is. And they hate
that's
it. They
right
hate the
center.
Vulgar crowd. They think the crowd is vulgar, and they hate the vulgar crowd, which really brings me to the big question here. Again, we'll get back to OJ in a minute, but as long as we're here. Sam, is the bureaucracy and... is it so vast and so hardened that you can't get anything done anymore?
Yes.
Okay.
To me, Seth, that is actually one of the fundamental issues behind why we have so much discord in the population.
Me too. I agree. Go with that.
Because government is taking more and more from people, but it is delivering less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you're the person who says, I don't want you to take any more of my money, I need you to stop taking as much as you do, or you're the person who says, well, I'm fine with you taking that money, but I want all these services.
Mm-hmm.
Both groups are bitterly disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bitterly, totally disappointed, because they're taking all the money. But where's the money going? Build Back Better is a joke. It's a literal multi-billion-dollar joke. And all this other stuff they're doing is, too, because now what happens is all that money will get eaten up in the bureaucratic process. They will find a way to pay it to themselves.
Yeah.
Via regulation.
Yeah. That's
via review.
That's right. When Margaret Thatcher was elected first in, I want to say, 79, was it? 77 or 79? 79, I think. She said, we are running because we are running against a government that takes too much from you in order to do too much to you. Now, there's a lot being taken from us. Okay, I get that. And maybe there are certain prices to pay. But the doing too much to you part isn't getting enough attention. People have no idea. Maybe they do. I don't think enough people have enough of an idea of how much regulation we are living under. Again, I have to take a break. Can you bear with me, and I'll come right back, and I'll have you respond to the Thatcher question. Taking too
Most
much
certainly.
From you to do too much to you. Sam Stone is my guest. Heard every Saturday morning here on his own radio show, Breaking Battlegrounds, at 9 a.m. on Saturdays on 960 The Patriot. Follow him on Twix at Sam the Paul, Sam the P-O-L. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest, radio host in his own right every Saturday morning right here, Breaking Battlegrounds, political consultant. That refrain of that quote of Margaret Thatcher, Sam, we're running against a government that takes too much from you to do too much to you. William Buckley once said, a liberal is someone who wants to reach into your shower and adjust the temperature for you. It was a joke in the 70s. It's eminently true today.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, look at what they're telling you. You know, they're saying you need to install smart thermometers,
right,
for instance,
right,
that allow them to determine what temperature your house can be at what time of the day.
Yep. Steve Moore was saying earlier, we're coming to a point where AC is going to be illegal.
Yes. Oh, look, I mean, this whole thing is a control scheme of the highest order, and part of it is to cover up their failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they wouldn't have to be worrying about what temperature people are setting their house at if they were able to generate enough electricity to meet need at peak times.
Right. Right.
But they're not, because government has tied itself in knots. It eats up all its own money in bureaucracy, and we don't get the power plants built. you know, if you wanted to green this country, I mean, energy-wise, you wanted to bring the most green and most economically beneficial long-term grid to the United States that you could ever possibly have, you would take the entire thing and turn it nuclear.
Of course, and you would use LNG as well. But
well, and actually what you do is use your LNG for export.
Fine, because that is what has reduced carbon in this country
enormously.
But here's what I go ahead.
All around the world, right?
Correct.
So we could benefit from the export. We could benefit from the reliable baseload, consistent energy of nuclear, and we could benefit the planet by reducing not only our own environmental impact, but the environmental impact of coal plants around the world. And coal, by the way, our side doesn't always seem to understand, is a little bit different than oil. I'm not really worried about CO2, but particulate matter in the air, which you get from coal
plants, the effluvium
is a different.
Right. Agreed. Here's what I want people to understand too, Sam, unless you think I'm being hypochondriacal about it or alarmist. I don't know why people think this can't happen. We have all been to countries, I think, where you do have times when there will not be hot water. And it's not because you didn't pay your gas bill or your heating bill or your electric bill. It's by dint of the order of the municipality and the government. We have been in a country here ourselves where we had rations on food and oil and gasoline. The thing that's weird to me about this is for years you and I grew up on the notion that America is too arrogant in thinking that it can export its values to other countries and that other countries should adopt American values. We've gone 180 degrees the other way. We are now becoming the kind of country that we used to send aid to and missionaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely we are. And, you know, fundamentally, I think there was a great mistake made there in trying to export our systems and export our moral structure militarily. I think they ran into the same problem that every religion has run into when they try to convert people by the sword.
Yeah, not everyone believes that stuff, right? Right. That's
just
the rule.
It does not work.
Yeah.
Like, that is... you know, I'm a big, as some folks may know,
It's hard to convince people who want to live in the 8th century to live in the 19th century. It's hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a huge scholar of Middle Eastern and Far Eastern history. That's where I'm kind of most passionate.
Okay.
If you look back to the era, you know, of the conflict that became the Crusades has led to all the conflict from this era, there were sort of two distinct camps within both Islam and Christianity. There was the camp that said, look, we're either going to have endless war, we have to learn how to live together, and we have to not try to convert each other by the sword. Unfortunately, those people who included Saladin and other very prominent Muslims and Christians, they were overcome by the people who said, nope, we're going to kill you all unless you convert.
Right. Right.
And the U.S. went around with that mentality, right? And I really believe that that was a mistake that has damaged the soul of this country in significant ways, like in the same way that Vietnam has, because it led when you lead to long running, never ending failures. Vietnam started a process whereby we no longer win wars. We simply engage in them for decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of those attempts to nation build and to bring democracy around the world didn't do that. But what they did was wear out the American public on the idea that we could do that or should do that.
And in its own subtle way, made Americans think less of their own country, too. Let me take the break. This was short. We'll pick up on that. I have a way to tie it back to the OJ thing, too, as well. Sam Stone and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Sam Stone is my guest. Sam, the efforts, military efforts abroad that have ended so poorly, be it the way we ended Vietnam, be it the way we ended and exited Iraq and Afghanistan. It not only did something in those countries and a lot of things in those countries, did something to our own thinking, I think. It showed us a reflection of ourselves that made us think less of ourselves, too. When Americans can't accomplish what Americans set out to do, it leads to a clinical form of national depression, I believe.
Especially when you add in a lack of a clear moral imperative for the action in the first place.
Yeah, good. I totally. Now, if I can relate it back a little bit, or try to how we started, which was the O.J. Simpson case, you were in the previous segment talking about these endless wars, the foreign policy-wise, endless wars where we end up not being able to live with one another, though we say at some point we are waging the wars so that we can. I believe that this is what has happened here domestically, and the O.J. Simpson case is a touchstone of that. We have become such a re-racialized society, Sam. When I see jurors being interviewed from that case saying they think they did the right thing, even though they know there was evidence to prove his guilt, evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, and they say, I have a juror here on tape. You may have seen her interview going around. She says 90% of the jurors thought he was guilty but voted to exonerate him because of Rodney King. 90%, that's 10 out of 12 jurors. That's anyway. She says it without a pang of conscience.
Yeah, this is a fundamental issue, and the O.J. Simpson case really sort of brought this to the forefront, and now it has continued, where the defense attorney was not defending O.J. Simpson.
No, right.
The defense attorney carried a case that was to attack racism.
Right, prosecuting the police.
Prosecuting the police.
In other crimes, or not crimes, but in other in other cases, yeah.
And so the vote, the jury's vote in the end was not on the innocence or guilt, as this woman makes clear, of O.J. Simpson, who was guilty beyond almost any, you know, question that anyone could have.
Yep.
It was truly a matter of punishing the Los Angeles Police Department and white people.
Correct. This was revenge. This was not jury. This was not jury nullification. This was not a court of law. This was a court of vengeance.
Yes. And that was the beginning. We're seeing this over and over in so many areas where we have relinquished the principles that guided this country. That justice is blind and colorblind.
Right, right.
That when we engage in a foreign war, it is in the clear interests of protecting life and liberty of our people or others. But instead, we keep heading down these very, very dirty, mucky paths where gender, racial, ideological identities determine the value of individuals and societal institutions.
And the future of America. I'm looking at footage of Congress people out of Michigan refusing to condemn chants in their own state of death to America.
Meanwhile, another one thinks the moon is made up of gas.
I saw that. Meanwhile, another one thinks an island is at risk of
tipping
sinking.
Over.
Yeah, tipping over and sinking. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, Guam is about to flip, you know, right side up.
Tip over. Yeah, that's you're right. It was tipping over. Too many people on it will tip it over. That's right.
Yep.
Right. So we're not led by the best and the brightest. We're not producing the best and the brightest. But the one thing that I think we can say for certain is that we have a re-racialized society where it's becoming increasingly difficult. You have a guy pulled over who fires an arsenal at cops. The cops fire back, and this makes the story that the guy who was pulled over, shot first, fired first, gets the sixth paragraph. That's where you first learn about it if you get down that far.
Yep. And what was really interesting, someone had on Twix, they had a comparison, the same county, same sheriff, and the news conference from 2010 when there was a similar incident when their officers fired 110 rounds at someone who shot at them and killed them.
Right.
And this incident, right? And listen to the not necessarily the sheriff's response, but the questions that are being asked. The questions that are being asked at that time were, are the deputies okay? One of them was injured. What's their status? Mm-hmm. You know, blah, blah, blah. The concern was palpably for the victim in that case, who was not the dead, violent human.
Right.
The victim was the officers who were forced to take their life.
Right. Right.
And that's the case again in this new situation as well. The victim is not the person who died.
That's right.
The victim is all the people who were forced to kill them because of their own stupid, violent actions.
Yes, of course. And if the person who died is a victim, and maybe they are in certain senses victims, they're a victim of something that didn't take place in that hour. You know, I'm always struck by a mom after Uvalde who said, you know, we can look at what took place over the last couple of weeks. I want to know what took place over the last 18 years with this person.
Yes.
This didn't happen in a vacuum.
No, it absolutely did not.
I want to know how these kids are being raised and what they're being told. I want to know what is being said in the talk.
Well, and if there's any possibility of avoiding it, the media will prevent you from seeing that, because if you go back to the Michael Brown case,
yep,
they made it, you know, what they did was when the Michael Brown case Ferguson happened, they went to his social media and every photo on social media was of him, you know, smoking blunts and
yep.
doing drugs
yep.
and playing with guns and money. And
yep.
this guy was clearly a gangster,
yep.
You know, or wannabe, you know, attempting to be a gangster, living that life. And then all of a sudden, when they realized the coverage was not going well for the narrative they wanted, they switched the photos that you saw
mm-hmm.
to photos of Michael Brown from his, in his case, they actually went back to middle school.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And now every time there's one of these situations, we get the photo of this kid coming out of high school.
Yep.
Or coming out of middle school.
Yep.
Why? Because they do not want to even risk anyone asking questions about what they've done since that day.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Tom Wolfe got this in Bonfire of the Vanities. I remember they did the same exact thing with those kids. They made them, you know, they made, anyway. Well, Sam, it's always good catching up with you, brother. Thanks for being with us as always. Thanks for being a good friend, and thanks for all the great work you do in our community.
Always a pleasure and a fantastic conversation.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon. Portions of the show brought to you by our good friends at Y Refi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YREFI24. You can also visit with them. They're based here locally. Their offices are on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. I've been there any number of times, and when you go, no sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign a thing. They leave the selling up to me. What are they offering? Y Refi is offering a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio, and it's not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve, and you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return. With Y Refi, you're in control. You can turn your income on or off. You can compound it, whatever you like. With Y Refi, there is peace of mind. No attack on principal if you ever need your money back. And with Y Refi, there are absolutely no fees. Check them out. InvestYRefi.com. If you want to know why I'm so obsessed about the teaching of history, it's to correct the modern narrative that Sam and I were talking about. This is a country that was getting most of it right. To quote Barack Obama in 2007, the year before he declared for president, the year in which he declared for president in 2007, he said we were 90% of the way there. 90%. We had 10% more to go. I'd venture to say we went from 90% to 50% and sinking every day. History is important. So is perspective. So is common sense. Open heads are important, as Bill Bennett likes to put it. Keep an open mind, but not so open your brains fall out. Mr. Bill, thank you as per usual. The rest of you, thank you as per usual. Until tomorrow, I'm Seth Leibson. God bless you all. Class is dismissed.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.